Good morning.
It's a great honor to be here, and I thank all of you for having me to support the Boy Scouts, their important mission in this community. So I thank you. It's also a great pleasure to be in Denver and to be in Colorado. It's one of my favorite places. I only wish I had brought my skis this morning because I'd love to stay for a few days. But Denver holds a special place in the NFL because I don't think there are better fans in the NFL or in professional sports than right here in Denver. And we appreciate all of the great support you bring the Broncos and the NFL in general. As Pat mentioned, and I'd just like to say, just for a moment, talk about Pat because he's meant so much to the league. I know he's meant a great deal to this community. You have a terrific owner and somebody who cares deeply about the game, this community, and most importantly, the NFL in general. And he has been, without a doubt, a mentor to me. We all know we don't get to places without a lot of people that support us, help us, and provide guidance. And Pat has done that for the 25 years of my career. I don't know about the next 25 years, Pat. That may be a little ambitious. Right now, I'm exhausted. But he really has been a terrific mentor and friend and provided a lot of leadership to me. And I know for a fact that I wouldn't be standing before you today, as Commissioner of the National Football League without Pat Bowlen. So thank you, Pat. There's one other person that's here with the Broncos that has also meant a great deal to me because we worked together in New York for several years, and he's an important part of the Broncos organization. And Joe Ellis and I worked together back in New York for several years, and I'm glad to see Joe, and he's a terrific person too. I guess I've been queued up to talk about personal conduct, so let me talk about that at the end. Because I've been talking about it all week and seems like for several months now, but it is an important subject to me personally, to the NFL, and I'm sure this community. But there are some things that I'd like to talk about in advance of that about the NFL and the connections to Boy Scouts, which really might be quite remarkable because I think there's a great deal of similarities between the National Football League and the Boy Scouts. You may be surprised by that. And while I wasn't a Boy Scout growing up, I was a Cub Scout, but I never made it to the Boy Scouts. I know that the organization is all about developing character and leadership skills. And I spent most of my time playing football, basketball, and baseball, but I know they share the same values, particularly football, as the Boy Scouts. The Boy Scouts spend an awful lot of time learning the Scout Oath and the Scout Law. These aren't just things to be memorized or rejected, but there are ways in which Scouts live their lives every day. Through community service, and through ethics, and leadership training, adventure activities, being a Scout prepares young men to be leaders of tomorrow. And Scouting helps build better communities and clearly better citizens. Pat Bowlen has provided that foundation and the leadership for the Denver Broncos to succeed on the football field. And I also know that he wants his team and the players to be leaders in this community. And I think he's accomplished that. You watch players like John Lynch, Champ Bailey, Dominique is here today. These are great young men. I'm very proud of the players who play in the National Football League. And they spend an awful lot of time in this community trying to make this community better. Teamwork is a very important part of the National Football League. And it's also a very important part of being a Boy Scout. The first words listed in the Scout Law are trustworthy, loyal, and helpful. A good Scout is honest and reliable member of his Scout group, a team, if you will. The NFL also places a great deal of importance on teamwork. In fact, it's critical to success. Football is the ultimate team sport. While the quarterback and the wide receiver always get the credit, it's usually the offensive lineman that's setting them up or protecting them that really does the job to make every play a great success. The league itself is a business partnership, and its fellow club owners compete for a Super Bowl on the field, but they are uniquely business partners once they get off the field. It's all about making the NFL successful, all 32 teams. Coach Shanahan lives by the Scout motto, "Be prepared." Coaching is all about preparation. Scouts have to train their bodies, their minds, and they must be able to react quickly and appropriately when a situation comes up. not unlike an NFL player. Football players is as much about mental preparation as physical preparation. It's a tough game. In addition to these shared values, just like the Boy Scouts and your businesses, we have a game plan for the success of our league and for each team. And our game plan focuses on three main points. How do we keep the game strong? How do we strengthen our 32 teams? And how do we innovate ourselves every day of the year? But it all starts with the game of football. We need to keep the game of football strong. We have to keep great competition on the field for you, the fans. We must be open to allow changes in our game to evolve and remain exciting for those fans. That's why we update our rules every year. Earlier this week, the competition committee who oversees our rules studies our rules for approximately 2 or 3 weeks every off-season and comes back to the ownership with rule changes. We did that this week. We made instant replay permanent for the first time in the history of the NFL. It is now a part of our game and will be going forward. We also will be purchasing new equipment to upgrade that equipment so that we can provide the best possible technology to make the best possible decisions by using high-definition television sets. We also made some subtle rule changes to improve player health and safety, a huge issue for us and our players. We want our players playing in the safest possible environment. And we debated the overtime rule, which I'm sure we could debate this morning. Everybody has a new perspective, and while we didn't come to any changes, I expect that sometime over the next couple of years, we'll be making some tweaks to that system. And we want to make sure that football remains healthy on all levels. Just being healthy on the NFL level isn't good enough for us. We really want to make sure that football is successful on the youth level, the high school level, college level, right up through the NFL. And it is. It's never been healthier as a game, and we spend an awful lot of time focusing how we can make it healthier. But for the NFL to be the best it can, the game on the field has to be the highest quality for us. And every team has to have that equal chance to win and be successful. And while I'm sure all of you would rather have the Broncos have a slight advantage, that's not the way we go into the season. We go into the season making sure that every team has that opportunity to hold up the Vince Lombardi trophy at the end of the season and a level playing field. That's the only way fans love to watch NFL football, by seeing their team have a hope when they come into that season that they can get to the playoffs and win the big one. And that's why we have a number of our business rules that actually promote competition. Sharing of revenue, you've heard this, but in the NFL, we share more revenue than any other professional sport. That's why we have a player draft that gives an advantage to the teams that finished last on the field from the previous year. Again, to promote them to have an opportunity to improve their teams and be more competitive the next season. It's why we have a salary cap, to make sure that every team has an equal opportunity to be successful on the field and afford the type of quality players as every other team in the league. And this leads to the second point. How do we keep 32 teams strong, and how do we make them even stronger? As 32 teams in this league, we strive to have where they're all operating at the highest possible level. That doesn't mean just on the field, it also means off the field. We want every team to have that opportunity to win the Super Bowl, but we also know that they have to be strong and promote their teams and the NFL in each of their communities. That's the only way we'll be able to continue to grow the National Football League. And of course, to do this, we have to promote teamwork even within our 32 clubs, which is often difficult when they compete against each other on every Sunday. But it's important to us to share best practices, to understand what's going on here in Denver, what may be going on in New York that could be shared among those teams to make those teams more successful and a bigger part of their communities, because that's where we ultimately get our success. In addition, we have to work with our 32 teams to make sure that they have the best quality stadiums. We're fortunate to be here today in Invesco Field, one of the great stadiums in the NFL. But we are still working to try to figure out how we can get new stadiums in many other communities, because this is important to you, the fans, to have these kind of facilities and this kind of a quality experience when you come out to see the Broncos play every week. And you'll probably remember when this facility was built, I believe it was just back in 2001, we have probably 6 new facilities around the drawing boards that are being built either now or contemplated as we go forward. So this is a huge initiative for us, and trying to make sure that we stay competitive with other facilities in other sports, but more importantly, provide our fans with the best possible experience every time they walk into an NFL facility. The third point that I've stressed with our membership is innovation. And we cannot be satisfied with the success that we have in the NFL. We have to continually reinvent ourselves and find out what it is we can do to make sure that we can promote our business and our success even further. And to do that, we've embraced technology very aggressively. Change is part of our business, and it's very important that we continue to look to see how we can use that to help us going forward. We have done that particularly on the front of television with the leadership of someone like Pat Bowlen as the chairman of our broadcast committee. By using television, by using the innovations that are happening in media, we're able to deliver our game better to you, the fans. I hope all of you are able to use our new media, NFL.com. We are relaunching NFL.com this season with a new look, with a new service, and hopefully to give you an opportunity to get closer to our game and to our players and coaches that make it so exciting. Of course, the internet is also going to be the future of media to some extent. We are all used to watching our games on television. Even now, today, we are showing our games on the internet to an international audience around the globe that is able to see NFL games every weekend through our Sunday ticket package. At some point, you'll be watching NFL games here in this country on NFL.com. I predict that going forward. It may be quite a way down the road because we want to keep our broadcast partners healthy, but that is the future of our world and where people are consuming media, and we want to be where people are consuming media. Many of your children probably play video games, another important part of our business. We have over 7 million games that are out with the Madden EA game. It's an extraordinary success, the most successful game they've ever had on an annual basis. And this gives people a chance to get closer to our game, particularly young kids who want to play our game and understand what it's like to be involved with NFL football. And they're extraordinarily realistic, and we work with them every year to reinvent the game and make it more realistic so that it's a better experience for everyone playing them. We also, as you know, and I hope all of you watch religiously, which is the creation of the NFL Network, which we created just 3.5 years ago. Again, another opportunity for us to bring more football to you, the fans. How do we do that in a way that will be compelling for you, it will be interesting for you on a year-round basis when we don't play games? But this gives you a closer chance to see what the Broncos do in their offseason to put together the best football team once the season comes around and follow your team very closely and follow their competitive teams. And we hope that NFL Network has been something that has enhanced your experience of the game and enhanced your interest and your support of the franchise. But by focusing on the three areas, the game, 32 teams, and innovation, the NFL is really just preparing for the future. How do we deliver more football to you, the fans, the way you want to have it? Let me share just a little bit of my personal philosophy on how I approach my job and how I really got to where I am. And I am very fortunate. I'm probably the luckiest guy you'll ever want to know because I'm doing exactly what I want to do. I've done it for 25 years, and it's what I wanted to do when I was in high school. But the first is to make sure that you understand change is a part of our world, and you must change before you're forced to change. We talked about this in our staff all the time. Challenge the assumptions. Look around the corners. Figure out how the world is changing around you, and change before you are forced to do that so that you don't get behind. Because if you're not moving forward, you're clearly going backwards. And be a good listener. Don't assume you know the answer, but be a good listener. Make sure you understand what people are saying and work through your solutions. The second is never to be satisfied. I mentioned to you before that I have focused on complacency as a major challenge in the NFL. We cannot be satisfied with the success the NFL is already enjoying. We need to figure out how we can bring it to greater heights. So we never talk around the office about how great we are. We never talk about how successful we are. We always talk about tomorrow. What are tomorrow's challenges and what it is we can do to make sure that we stay on top. The third is to surround yourself with a great team. And I don't have to tell anybody in here how important that is. You see that with the Broncos. It's important. It's not just about one player. It's about a great team and how everyone can contribute to that success. Having smart people around you is the best thing you can ever do. And hopefully they're smarter than you and can help you set that bar higher. And once you reach that bar, jump a little bit higher. So I think it's critically important to make sure that your teammates are the best possible teammates you can find. And finally, have integrity. We often talk about, it's not just about achieving success, it's how you achieve that success. It's how you win the game. What does it represent? It's not just about making the big victory at the right time, it's about doing it in a way that this community will be proud and everybody associated with the NFL would be proud. And there is no compromise between results and integrity from my standpoint. They are interlocked and they are critical as we go forward. And everybody in our organization is particularly focused on that. And I know as you sit here today, you are thinking about your commitment to your community and to the young people we're honoring and we're supporting today through the Boy Scouts of America. And I think with the tools that the Boy Scouts are providing our young men, they will be more successful going forward in this community and provide back to this community. I think that's critically important for all of us to make sure that we do our part with children. I know Pat mentioned player conduct, and it's been an issue that's been a major focus for me over the last several months. Dominique is here, and I met with Dominique along with a number of players back in February in Indianapolis to talk about the issue, to understand what is going on with our players, our coaches, and other people involved with the National Football League. And we've had a tremendous focus on what it is that we could do to improve our personal conduct policy, to make it more effective, to make it represent the National Football League the way we want to be represented. And the first thing I wanted to make a point of was that people like Dominique, who came to that meeting, the first point they made is that they don't like it either, that they respect the game, they respect the National Football League, and they don't want to be branded with this type of off-the-field conduct. And we're fortunate we have great players and great people like Dominique. He not only performs well on the field, but off the field, and we have thousands of players that do that for the NFL. But it's reality that a few people can taint that image, and we're very focused on that to make sure we deal with that in an aggressive fashion. What is it we can do to hold these young men to a higher standard so that they represent themselves, their families, their communities, their teams, and the National Football League to the level that we all believe they should? And I know we've got a number of plans. It's a complicated issue. It is not simple as just suspending a particular player. It's a threefold issue. We have to educate our players as to the issues that they're all facing, make sure that they understand the types of things that are going on in those communities, what to avoid, what to be involved with, and make sure they're intelligent about the choices that they make. The second is about programs. We need to provide more programs and more responsive programs to what they're facing in today's world. These are young men that come into a world of a lot of money, a lot of exposure, a lot of excitement, and there's a great deal of adulation. We need to make sure they have the programs to understand how to deal with that as soon as they walk in the doors of the National Football League. So we'll be expanding our programs and doing what we can to support them on that level. The last and most important piece to some extent is to make sure when you do make the wrong choice, there's a consequence for the wrong choice. So we'll be making discipline stronger, more aggressive, and more clear going forward that you have a privilege to play in the National Football League or to be associated with the National Football League, whether you're a commissioner, whether you're a coach, whether you're the equipment manager, whether you're a player. Any of us are privileged to be associated, and we have to hold ourselves to that standard. And we will. And if you disappoint us, and if you make the wrong choice, you will pay a price for that. And that's important going forward for all of us and for you, our fans, to understand that we are going to be held to that standard, and our clubs are going to be held to that standard. So I hope that we will do a better job going forward to represent you in this community with the Broncos, with the NFL, and I look forward to making sure that that we do hold ourselves to that standard. That's part of my job, and I wish it was going to be an easy solution. People have asked me, what's an acceptable level of player conduct or personal conduct that distracts from the game? And I said, one's too many. And it is. It's not realistic to think that it's going to be eliminated, but it is something that we need to be focused on and do the best we can. So I thank you for all for being here this morning. I hope the snow hasn't caught us in here, but I appreciate you all being here and the support that you're providing, not only to the Broncos and the NFL, but most importantly this morning, the Boy Scouts of America. So thank you very much.